The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you will get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, this is Andy from Toronto, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 221 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and with me on the show today is my enchanting co-host. We know he dressed up as Elsa on Halloween, just like everybody else, but he still looked fabulous. From the WDW Today podcast and from touringplans.com, it's none other than Michael Scopa. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Actually, I did not dress up as Elsa.
No, you didn't?
I dressed up as a combination. On the left side, I was Elsa.
Uh-huh.
And on the right side, I was Anna.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Wow.
I got four date offers.
Yeah.
And one offer from a psychiatrist to come see and talk about my split personality.
Wow. And I got a rock. Well, anyway, happy to have you on the show as always.
It's great to be here. I'm really excited to be here today.
I have a shout out. Can I do a shout out when
what
I'm hosting?
What is a shout out?
Okay. My shout out is to our buddies who ran the New York City Marathon on Sunday. The weather was kind of iffy, but there are four of our running buddy friends at least, maybe many, many more. Kimberly Markey, who is a good friend of the show. Elvin Torres, who is actually from New York himself. Joe Quatrochi, who's from New York as well. And Joe Kalinske, who's also from New York. So we hope that they had a great race, and they're really supportive and great show fans. So we hope it was wonderful.
Actually, Evan, from now on, Kimberly will always be Mary Poppins.
Yes. That's a
private joke that you'll have to talk to Kimberly to figure it out.
Okay. We are delighted. We are over the moon. We just were like dancing around here at the Mickey Miles Podcast Studio in New Hampshire because we have on the show today none other than our good friend,
Walt Disney,
a.k.a. Show Notes Guy, who also dressed up as Elsa for Halloween, Rich Gehring. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Thank you, Michelle. I am actually wearing my Sam the Eagle costume with today being Election Day.
Ah. And
I am hoping everybody gets out there and votes for the Mickey Miles Podcast on iTunes today.
That's great. Do your civic duty. Go to iTunes and and rate the Mickey Miles Podcast. So I'm going to be so happy not to have flyers coming to my house in New Hampshire. But okay, so today on the show, we are doing a race preview of an upcoming race, which is called the Wine and Dine Race Weekend. And Mike and I will not be there. We are foregoing this one to head out to Avengers very soon. But our buddy Rich will be there. And Rich, have you done the race before?
Oh, you don't remember last year with the famous sweater guys?
Of course. That was wonderful. Yes, I'm
and
sorry.
And a bus driver. So
somehow I can't keep all the races straight. But I know that you're a big part of my running history. But yes, that was really fun when we ran and Rich had a colored lightsaber and we had a great time. Mike and I are both veterans of the race. I think I've done it three times. I think I've done it three times.
I was injured once.
Yeah, okay. So we've done it. And we're going to miss this one because it's really, really fun. And we're happy Rich is going to be there. Before we get started with previewing the race, we would like Rich to share. He has been gracious enough to offer to have some meetups for the Mickey Miles Podcast. So whether you're a listener or on the Mickey Miles Podcast team or both, Rich and some other Mickey Milers and Mickey Miles buddies are going to be there. So, Rich, you want to give us a rundown of when people can meet up?
Sure. Well, we've got three great meetups going on this weekend. The first one will be on Saturday morning before the 5K. So we will all be at the Animal Kingdom. I'll probably be there about 5 a.m. And we will be gathering for a picture at 5:30 at the Animal Kingdom pre-start area. So before we get into the corrals, we'll all gather and be ready for a picture at 5:30 in the morning before we get into race mode. And so I'm looking to see everybody bright and early there. After that, the night of the race, I will probably be leaving the resort around 7, getting to the Wide World of Sports, probably 7:30, 7:45. And we will have an 8:15 p.m. Picture at the Wide World of Sports for the team. And we'll be getting together and hanging out a little bit before the race there. And since it's such a big area, we will probably take some Instagram pictures and tweet out to everybody where we're going to be. So look for the Mickey Miles tweet to say where we're going to be at that time. And then the one I'm looking forward to is on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. in the studios. We will be meeting at Gertie's for some ice cream and some relaxation after a long, fun night of running and wining and dining. So three different meets. The first one Saturday morning at 5:30 for a picture, the second one being Saturday evening at 10 for a picture, and then Sunday at 1:30 in the studios for ice cream and fun.
Thank you, Rich. And it's a great way to meet other listeners, to meet some of the people who have been on the show. There's usually hijinks and mayhem, and you get to meet some people that you may have seen on Facebook and talk to on Facebook. So we are very grateful to Rich and to Eve and Phil Vanderpool for helping us with those meets. So you're going to post pictures, right, Rich, for those of us who are unlucky enough not to be there?
Yep, between myself, but I'm sure that Team Monorail Media will be doing a lot of great jobs and sending out pictures from all different things during the weekend.
Terrific. Okay. So that will be fun. And I know a lot of our listeners are going to that race. So it's going to be fun. Okay. So what I thought I would do is just give a general itinerary of the weekend, and then we'll dig in and talk about the specific parts of the weekend. So it all starts on Friday, November 7th for the Run Disney Health and Fitness Expo. That's going to be at the Wide World of Sports Complex. That's from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then there's something called the Wine and Dine Pre-Race Taste, which is that night at Hollywood Studios from 6:30 to 8:30. And I don't know anybody who's going to that, but we would love it if somebody reports in and tells us how it goes, because we haven't done that one. All right, switching over to Saturday, November 8th, you're going to start off with your Mickey Miles podcast meet, and then you're going to be at Disney's Animal Kingdom Park for the Mickey's Jingle Jungle 5K. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. That has a 7 a.m. start. And then the Run Disney Health and Fitness Expo continues at the Wide World of Sports from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The kids' races start at 10 a.m. That's at the New Balance Track and Field Complex. The Wine and Dine Half Marathon is at the ESPN World of Sports for a start at 10 p.m. and finishing at Epcot. The Finish Line Party is at Epcot, and that starts at 10 on Saturday and runs into Sunday at 4 a.m. So we'll talk about all those things too. So what I wanted to do first is to have Mike run down what are the host resorts, and we'll talk about the busing a little bit and how to get there.
So we're always talking about host resorts, and these are the resorts which have the buses that will take the runners to the race start. So for the Wine and Dine this year, we have, and a lot of these will sound familiar because they don't really change that much every year, although they do adjust accordingly because they realize that there are a lot of runners that are spread out throughout the resort. So this year, it's the All-Star Movies, it's the All-Star Sports, it's the Boardwalk Inn, it's Pop Century, Port Orleans Resort, actually it's French Quarter, it's the Yacht Club, All-Star Music, the Beach Club, Caribbean Beach, Saratoga Springs, Port Orleans Riverside, Disney's Wilderness Lodge, and Disney's Polynesian. So, for instance, if you are at the Contemporary, you want to go to the to the Polynesian if you want to take the bus.
And Mike, you and I have used the resort buses before, and it's been actually really, really easy and fantastic to do that.
It's been easy, but we want to, and the reason why we've done it is that we wanted to try and experience it so that we can provide this information, because as much as we think we may know, it's best to try it out. And one of the things we've learned, Michelle, is that you want to get there around 20 minutes before the first bus takes off.
There are buses to the Expo too, and you can get those all during the day. If you're going to the Mickey's Jingle Jungle 5K, the busing starts at 5 a.m., goes to 9 a.m., and if you're going to the Wine and Dine, the buses start at 7 p.m., and you'll get buses back on 4:30 in the morning on Sunday. So, Rich, are you going to be taking any of the buses this time?
Well, this time I will be taking the buses, and last time I was in the Jumbo House, so I did not have the opportunity to use the buses, so I had to take a cab, and it really, it's a different experience when you take a cab, because I was one of the first people to get to Epcot to make sure I was ready to go, and then finding the buses to Wine and Dine was a bit of an experience last year. They were a little bit unprepared for the nighttime race. So it's something that folks need to remember, is that if you are going to the race at a non-host resort, you have to find your way to Epcot and then find the buses to the race from there.
Okay. So highly recommend that you take those buses, and we've had great experiences doing that too. All right. So let's head on over to the Health and Fitness Expo. Mike, can you tell us a little bit about that, when it will be, and what you can do there?
Well, you know, the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend is probably either two or three as far as popular the weekend run Disney events. And because of that, the expos are usually pretty close to being what they are in January. This year, the expo is a two-day event. It's Friday and Saturday. It starts off on Friday, November 7th at 10 o'clock. It runs through 7 p.m. that evening. And it's also open on Saturday, which is the day of the big half marathon. But it's only from 9 to 3, and so it's 2 days, and it's held at the Joston Center. And what you'll do is, just as always, you go and pick up your race packet at the HP Fieldhouse over at the World of Sports, and then you'll just walk over to the Joston Center and see Rudy and everybody, and pick up your gear bag, and then shop to your life's heart's content. Right, Michelle?
Yes. Yeah, so, Rich, do you like this expo?
I love this expo. I thought it was a little bit smaller than the Granddaddy Expo that they have in January, but there's still a lot of great stuff to do there. My plan this time is to buzz in and buzz out as quick as possible, because that's my food and wine day as well. But if people have time and they want to experience a great expo, this is my favorite of them all.
And in addition to sports things, there are actually some of the vendors in the past have been food related and wine related, and there's usually a chance. I think I got champagne once at one of these things, or Prosecco, and I know I bought some coffee at one of them. So there's things other than sports things, but the focus is sports. Now, something that you should know is that you can pick up an absentee packet pickup. And guys, I think this is the last race where they're going to allow this. Is that correct?
The last one. Yeah. That is the last one.
So you need to have, if you're picking up for somebody else, you need to have a copy of your driver's license or photo ID, your signed waiver, and your signed packet pickup authorization form. So for the person whose packet you're picking up. And so it says that if you don't have these forms, no exceptions will be made. You will not get those things. So anyway, another part of the expo is of course, the speaker series. And Rich, do you ever go to those?
I've been to a couple. I've seen Jeff in California and Florida. But this time, if it's close, I plan on seeing the behind the shoes presentation that they're going to have, because I know that you and Eddie and a couple of other friends have those brand new shoes, and I wanted to see some of the creativity behind them making those shoes.
Yeah, that's great. So actually, you can get your New Balance shoes if you go to New Balance and do the virtual queue. You could sign up and get some of those shoes if you wanted to. That's going to be, Rich, on Friday at noon, and it's going to be 30 minutes, and it's called Behind the Scenes Run Disney Shoes Design Process Presented by New Balance. And it says the shoe experts are going to give you a behind-the-scenes look of what it takes to bring the magic of Disney to life on a running shoe. So that sounds really interesting. There's also going to be information for runners and spectators. We talked about our buddy Fitz Kohler is going to present. Tara Guidis will be there. The Disney-bound people will be there. And do you guys know about Disney-bound?
I have no idea what it is, but I saw it in the program. Now, if I was going to be there then, I would certainly sit and watch the things, because the costumes are fascinating.
Yeah, I'm sure that I'm going to explain this incorrectly, because one of our listeners, John Beale, actually explained it to me in Disneyland. And the idea is that in Disney parks, adults are not permitted to wear costumes. Is that right, Mike?
From what I understand, they're not allowed to wear costumes with masks.
Okay. So because of that, this thing called Disney Bound has evolved, and it's where people can wear sort of everyday clothing that makes them look like a Disney character. So for instance, you might wear a maroon top and black pants and an orange belt and a maroon hat and kind of look like hotel workers at Tower of Terror. So that's what it is. It's kind of fascinating, and I guess it's sort of a growing sensation. So if anybody knows more about it, they can let us know, because I don't really know much.
Maybe. It is. I just looked them up on Tumblr, Michelle, and it's just amazing to see there's got to be 100 different outfits that people can wear to look like they're a character, anywhere from people in Aladdin and Rapunzel and other characters, where it's just normal clothes that they wear and somehow accessorize them to make themselves look like a Disney character. It's amazing.
So maybe we'll have to have them on the show. But anyway, they're doing some presentations too. We have Jeff Galloway will be there. So it's really fun, and I highly recommend that people sit down and watch at least one of these. They're really interesting. You can ask questions and things like that. Anything else about the speaker series, guys?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So heading on to the kids' races, those are going to be on Saturday, November 8th at the New Balance Track and Field Complex. We've talked about those before on the show. The dashes will start at 10 a.m., the various dashes, and the mile will go at 10:45, and from what I understand, it's fantastic and fun to watch. I still have not done that, so I'd like to go do that. All right, so then we get to one of my favorite races, the Mickey's Jingle Jungle 5K.
That's correct.
Okay, so that's going to be on Saturday, November 8th, Animal Kingdom Park. You can check your bag there. And Mike, do you want to walk us through what that race is?
okay, so it's a fun run, first off. So everyone should realize that there's not going to be any race results that are going to be posted. There will not be any awards. And everybody who finishes will get a special finisher medallion, I guess they're calling it. You know, it's funny, though, because they're saying it's a fun run, but they said it still says that there will be a 16-minute per mile time limit, which is kind of interesting. So we'll see what happens, although I don't recall anybody that I know that's been picked up for a 5K. So this is how the course goes. It takes place at the Animal Kingdom, and you go through, you go through the Oasis X exhibits, and you race towards Discovery Island, the trails around Discovery Island, and then you're going to go past the Tree of Life, and then you head towards Africa and Asia, and then you go past, if everyone's familiar with the Animal Kingdom Park, you go past the Flights of Wonder, and then you head up towards Expedition Everest, and I think Expedition Everest will be on your left, I believe, as you run by. And Then you continue running past Finding Nemo, and make your way down through Dinoland, USA. And then you run past Dinosaur, and then you go out. I believe when you get to Dinosaur, you go outside the park. And that is an area, as you're looking at the Animal Kingdom park, it's to the right. And it's from that point on, the ground is pretty flat. There are no crazy curves or bumps or anything. And that's where the finish is.
Okay. So, Rich, you're going to be doing this one. Why did you sign up for this race?
I signed up for this one because I've got three special friends I'm going to be running this one with. And it'll be their first run Disney medals. And it's just something that I've never done before. But I do remember... Oh, geez, it's been 2 years now since Mike did show number 14, where he was live reporting from the course. And it's one of those shows, if you're going to do it and you haven't done this race before, you really need to listen to, because it was a hoot.
Oh, cool. I remember that. You couldn't run, so you were reporting about what was going on in the race.
That was 2012.
Well, he said 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yep.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, time flies. Yeah. That's a really fun race. I mean, Christmas is my favorite, so I love the theming in that. But lots of families, lots of people dressing up like elves.
A lot of costumes, I'd imagine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Rudy and Carissa are dressed up in holiday-type outfits. And
yeah, I don't know if Carissa and Rudy are going to be doing that. I know that John and John Pelkey and Rudy Novotny usually do that one, and they let Carissa run. And sometimes, and I'm pretty sure I saw John Hughes run that race too.
Oh, cool. So that's a fun one, and you're going to have a meet in the morning too. And the medals are really cute for that. So we look forward to seeing what a lot of people post for that. Okay, so then we go on to lots of resting. Hopefully people will be resting who are doing both of these races. So we have the whole day. Rich, it sounds like, are you going to be resting that day or going over to Food and Wine?
We'll be doing a little bit of Animal Kingdom, and then we're going to be relaxing the rest of the day at the pool. So it'll be a mixed day for me.
Okay. So we have, as we mentioned, great host resort buses that'll get you there, and highly recommended that you take those. We're going to start at the ESPN World of Sports. The wheelchair start is 9:58, and the actual start is at 10 o'clock. Rich, what time do you like to get to the corrals when you're doing this type of race?
I'm an early guy for pretty much everything I do, so I'll be on the first bus going there, and I'll probably be in the corrals really early. I remember last year, I waited in line for the bathrooms, and it just took forever, and it made me very nervous to get in the corrals as late as I was. So take care of things early and just get in the corrals early and have some fun with your friends while you're waiting.
So you do want to check your gear really quickly. They will actually take it and bring it over to Epcot for you. But the bathrooms are something that I always worry about too. You probably should get there as soon as you can. But Mike, what do we know about bathrooms on the course?
On this particular course, there will be several areas that will have porta potties, but they're not as plentiful as you would think. Everyone always seems to say, we wish we had more, we wish we had more. I want to say there are four places on the course where you can do your business, you know, if you have to. But the other thing to remember is that you can always, you know, make a stop in the Animal Kingdom if you have to.
Yeah. And usually there are porta potties on the way to the corrals too, but not at this one.
Not at this one.
Yeah, no. Yeah, because there's not really a long walk for this one.
Yeah. I remember that the big excitement were the bathrooms going into the Animal Kingdom last time at about that was about the 5K mark, and I know that our bus stopped for a little while people were running in and out of the bathrooms, and they were pretty crowded.
So it says porta potties will be available at Wide World of Sports near the start line on the course near the beverage stations and at the finish area. So along the course, there are going to be 9 water stops, so that's plenty. You may even be able to run without a running belt, depending on the weather. Lately, it's been pretty cool down there. I don't know if that'll hold out for next week, but that might be nice. Mike, would you like to walk us through the course?
I would be delighted.
Thank you, Mike.
So let's talk about the wine and dine. Whoops. Let's talk about the wine and dine course. So so here we go. It starts, like we said, it starts at the ESPN World of Sports. And you, let's see if I can recall, you run down Victory Way, and then you turn, then you go west on, those of you who are familiar with Osceola Parkway, that's that big road that intersects between that and Victory Way, which goes down to Blizzard Beach and Pop Century. So let's see, then you're going to make your way up to the Animal Kingdom, like we had said earlier. And just like the 5K, you run past Everest and you run past Dinosaur, and then you come out, and then you head towards the studio. So you're going to come out, and I think you're going to take a, as you come out of there, I think you, well, you're going straight to Osceola. And Osceola, if for those of you who have done the Tara Tara, you notice that there's some hills and valleys. So there'll be a little bit of hills and valleys on that. But you'll head towards Hollywood Studios, and then you'll enter the back way. You'll enter through where the Tower of Terror is. You go past the Tower of Terror. And then this is the part that Michelle and I are going to miss. You're going to run through the streets of America, and you're going to be able to see the Osborne lights. They're going to be up and running. They're going to be playing Christmas songs. So, and that's going to be the part that I'm going to miss the most. So
maybe we can ask Rich to take a picture and send us. Or maybe a video. we'll see.
We'll see about that.
Now, I'm looking at the description, and there's something that kind of bothers me. So you run through Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. That's right. You go down Sunset Boulevard. You go through Pixar Place past Toy Story Mania. Then you're going to go through the costuming tunnel. So you're going the other way, Michelle, than we did. And then you go to Lights, Motor, Action. And then you go through the Streets of America and through Star Tours and Indiana Jones down that way. And then you head out and you head towards Epcot. And you go through, let's see, you go on that path from the studios to Boardwalk. And then you come in Epcot and you run, you run through the Peach and Yacht Club and then you head to finish just outside Epcot. So,
all right. So, thank you. Yeah. Rich, why do you like doing this race?
Last year was my first year doing it with the other two sweater guys. And there are a couple of areas that I just wanted to highlight and caution people about. And the first area is Animal Kingdom, because the path is uneven in a couple of places. And it there was one pretty steep downhill where you had to be careful of just all of the people that you're with and just the between the run walkers and all sorts of other things. So I thought that was a bit of a congestion area and a little bit concerning.
Where is that, Rich? Where's the downhill?
It's on the backside of Animal Kingdom. So it's somewhere between mile 4 and 5 as you're leaving the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, Rich. I think it's also a little tricky near Everest too, as you're running up Everest.
Yep.
I tried to. And one of the issues is it's not just the ground that's the issue, it's the lighting sometimes too.
Certainly, yep.
Yeah.
So, and then after that though, we had those light up figures that I think were really redone from the 20 mile celebration. They had the genie there and Tigger and a couple of other ones lit up with Christmas lights, and I thought they were just fantastic. That's a big area that I was looking forward to for pictures again. And then the other area that I wanted to, highlight was, of course, the Christmas celebration as you go through the studios and Osborne Family Lights. But, Mike, if you remember, as you leave the studios and you head towards the Boardwalk and the Yacht and Beach Club, that path that goes down to the path along the canal there, people were going way too fast down there and some were coming off of the path. And that was really concerning last year as we were going. I think some people had a little bit too much beer or something, and they were just losing control down that path.
So you take a left when you're coming out of the studios and then a right onto that path. And there was that, wasn't there a bale of hay there?
Well, you're thinking about during Dopey, because I think I was waiting for you guys there at Dopey. That was one of the places where I was seeing everybody. And you're right, Michelle. They had bales of hay there, and they actually put volunteers there to tell people to be careful. Now, at night, it's even more treacherous, but when you're talking Dopey, there were people who were tired and there were people who were who were wiping out. I saw at least a half a dozen people wipe out there. So that's a good point, Rich, to for everyone to be aware that when you're coming out of the studios and as soon as you get past the bus area, that, you know, you're going on that path, because many people may not have ever even been on that path. If you've been on that path, you're aware of it. But if you haven't, you have to be very, very aware. And I'm sure there are going to be volunteers there making sure that people take care of how they, you know, how they negotiate that area. And I'm also hoping that it's well lit.
Yeah, that's a good point. I actually really, really enjoy walking that path and running that path, but it is narrow. Day or night, it doesn't matter. It's a tricky path. So I have to say, you know, we mentioned on the show many times that these aren't PR races, and one of the things that you should really enjoy is when you're doing some of the races that allow you to go up Main Street USA, to walk up Main Street USA. For this race, for me, I would walk up the street where Osborne Lights is. I always forget the name of that street. What is it?
Streets of America.
Streets of America. I would walk up that because that is spectacular to be there with lots of people running, and it's not as crowded as it is when you go to the show. And it's just to hear that music, I just think I always get tears in my eyes. I would definitely recommend walking that.
And let me plant one more seed about what Michelle just said. This could very well be the last time you'll see the Osborne Lights. So keep that in mind when you're running this race.
Dun, dun, dun. Rich, what do you think?
I totally agree with you, Michelle. If people are out there trying to run this thing, you know, you can run it, you know, the first couple of miles while you're on the parkway. And then once you get out of the Animal Kingdom, you know, you can run it again. But the joy of these races is especially running through the parks and seeing the Christmas trees and decorations. You know, I haven't been down there since January, so just seeing the parks for me is going to be a thrill. But to see the different decorations that have just magically sprung up in the last couple of weeks are certainly the things that I'm going to look forward to the most. And you know, there's so much to see and so little time to enjoy it at night, especially, is my thought on it.
That's great. So you'll get your medal, and it's redesigned this year. Some people it, some people don't. Rich, do you remember what it looks like? I didn't happen to check it out before the podcast.
This year, it's the anniversary 5th-year spinner, so it looks sort of like the medal from last year, and then it has another design on it, which is brand new. So I'm really thankful that I was able to get into this race and get it, because I'm looking to collect all the Disney spinner medals this time.
Oh, aren't you smart? All right. Well, and then if you are eligible, you can get your Coast to Coast medal too. So you'll have to look for the Coast to Coast signs to get that medal as well. All right. So the pacing requirements, of course, are the 16-minute mile for this. And you should stop there. Hopefully there'll be lots of characters along the way. You should make sure that you look at the race flags, and if there are any heat weather conditions or hot weather conditions, the race director John Hughes will definitely he tweets that out on Run Disney, and you will see it on just before the course too. So post race, the finish line party. Rich, what are your impressions of the finish line party? You end up at Epcot, so you're there for wine and dine. What do you remember from last year?
We all went to the back of Epcot, sort of in the Germany area. And my gosh, it was crowded. There were characters everywhere for people to get pictures with. And it was just wall-to-wall people. But there was, you know, the sense of enjoyment from finishing the race and some of the people having a cocktail or two after the race. It was a really good time. And that is the highlight of the weekend, I think.
And this is where I give special props to Run Disney and John Hughes, because the very first, the inaugural running of this Wine and Dine half marathon race was like we wanted it to. And we threw out some suggestions. We said, really, we think that this should happen, that should happen. And he and his staff listened, and the Run Disney folks have done a great job of making it better. So this is one of those deals where, you know, you really have to take your hat off. And because one of the things that we remember the first race, Michelle, is not too many places were open. We actually couldn't eat anywhere. We had like some kind of a special band that we gave us. We ended up about a dozen of us went over to eat at the Swan and Dolphin or whatever. But yeah, Rich, I think that I think that the after dinner party, this is, you know, if I had a choice between the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror and this, I would take this every single year, because there's so much more to do after the race. Whereas in the Tower of Terror, I mean, it's okay, but there really wasn't much there to do. So I, you know, if someone out there is trying to decide what to do next year and can only go to one of these, I would take Wine and Dine over Tower of Terror in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so you get this great course, you have the Osborne Lights, you have a great party afterwards, you have, you know, the weather conditions are usually really kind of nicer than Tower of Terror, and a fantastic medal, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the only reason why I really wanted to do the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror is I wanted to go to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party.
Yeah, really. The only thing I would caution is that you've just run a half marathon. You know, depending on the weather conditions, at the end they offer you a beer or a wine. And so just be careful about drinking afterward. I mean, just right after the race, you know, give yourself a few minutes to settle down. I know that the first time I did it, I think they had like skinny girl margaritas, and I thought, wow, this is going to be great. And I took a sip and I thought, oh, it wasn't the drink itself. It was just the, I just run and it just was not, I needed water. I needed Gatorade before I started drinking alcohol. So just be careful.
I think, you know, speaking as a guy, I think after running 13, like Rich's input on this, I can't see drinking wine after running 13 miles. I can see drinking beer.
Well, now that I had a margarita. So, but I agree with you for me, yeah. But I don't think it's a guy thing. I think it's a personal preference thing, but. Richard,
I'd certainly get some water first, yeah. And then I'd go after the beer. And you know, I'm sort of a beer snob. I wasn't too into the beer they were giving out last year, but I'll certainly give it a try again this year and see where they are.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I put my nose up at it.
It was something like that, Mike, yeah.
It wasn't grapefruit beer then, huh, Rich?
No. I've got that here, but not there.
All right, so we're looking forward to hearing how you do, Rich. Will you come back and do a post-race review with us?
As soon as I get back, we can certainly talk about the race, and I'm looking forward to it and meeting all the Mickey Milers that are going to be down there, because I know that we have a lot of friends that are going to be down there this time.
Yes, and so we hope that people meet up with you at the different times you mentioned, and also that they post their pictures on the Mickey Miles podcast page on Twitter. We'd love to see you running and you having fun on the race course and all during the race weekend. So, Rich, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Mike and Michelle, for bringing me back on.
And thank you also for doing such a great job with the show notes. I use them all the time to look up information. So thank you. And thank you, Mike, for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for asking me to appear here. It's been a great pleasure. I always wanted to be on a podcast. I hear they're really fun. So I'm really, this is...
This might be the last time you're on.
You know, I think these podcasts, I think there's some, you know, possibilities that they're going to be around for a while. So thank you again, Michelle. And thank you, Rich.
Okay, so for Rich Gehring, for my co-host Mike Scopa, I am Michelle Scribner-McLean, and we will see you on the road. The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.